Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's 9:49 and time for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption to trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49. Kansas City March wheat opened at, it hasn't opened yet, but the May contract opened at 4:40, up a quarter on the open. Over at the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 367, down 2 on the open. May, 379, down 1.5. July, 390, down 1.75. September, $4.50, down a quarter. December, 411, down 3. March at 420, down 3 on the open. March corn opened at 227.5, down 1 on the open. May, 238.75, down a half. July, 248.5, down 3/4. September, 255, down a half. December, 264, down 1. March, 270, down 3/4 on the open. March oats open at 184.25, up 1.75 on the open. May, 188.75, up a quarter. March beans opened at 591, unchanged on the open. May, 604, unchanged. July, 615, up a quarter. August, 618.5, down 1. November, 627, up a quarter. January, 632, up a half on the open. March soybean meal open at 176, down 20 on the open. May, 178.10, unchanged. March soybean oil open at 24.35, down 2 on the open. May, 24.70, down 5. Over at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, March feeders open at 106.75, down 40 on the open. April, 107.40, down 10. May, 108.07.5, down 40 on the open. April live cattle opened at 86.57.5, down 22.5 on the open. June, 82.25, down 10. April lean hogs open at 62.55, up 55 on the open. May, 68.80, up 7.5. June, 71.25. Up 42.5. July, 69.10, up 17.5 on the open. And March bellies open at 89.30, down 12.5 on the open.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolandagrienergy.com.
Next Tuesday, March 7th, is our 2006 All-Day Agricultural Outlook Meeting. Registration at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana begins at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 7:30 here in the Central Time Zone. We recommend you come early, get registered, grab a cup of coffee, a cinnamon roll, get yourself situated. The only charge is for the noon lunch, $8.50, payable to the Beef House, either by cash or check. And full details of the schedule is available at our website, willag.org. And joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is one of the presenters at the All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting. He'll be talking about corn in the afternoon, and that is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, we're excited. Not only do we have new pencils to give out, but I'm getting a haircut in anticipation of this fun day on Tuesday.
You and me both getting a haircut.
It'll take about 2 minutes for me.
And about three for me. You know, as I get older, things are creeping a little bit higher.
Kind of like the markets, right?
Just like the markets. No technical reasons for it, really. No fundamental reasons for it. It just creeps up. And that seems to be the case after yesterday. We were thinking that, particularly in the soybeans, after seeing the close yesterday, that maybe the death rattle was coming. But then we came back yesterday, the 2 days ago, but then yesterday comes back strong on technical reasons and breaks above major moving averages. How do you explain all of this?
Well, I think you hit it. It started out, this week with the Argentine rains and bird flu spreading throughout Europe, and then the wheat belt's wheat belt rains were going to be forecasted to hit. And so we kind of started out on a fundamental mindset earlier in the week, Dave. And then obviously yesterday, the poor export sales and the rain indeed falling in the driest areas of the southern plains really didn't do much to the market. We felt like the currency markets, the metals markets, and the technicals really jumped in there and took control. And, you know, the traders in Chicago in particular, from what we could gather after the close yesterday, really made that correlation that when silver jumps, and like it did yesterday, over 4% on a new exchange-traded fund being presented to the SEC, that when silver moves in those kind of percentage gains, soybeans tend to find some support off that. And we think that, along with the weaker dollar index, could explain a lot of what happened yesterday. But, you know, at these points and these price levels, we've had a lot of calls lately by producers saying, is this a new market? Is this a new era that we're in right now? And our mindset is, to a degree, it is. But producers are also in a very unique time and have a unique opportunity to lock in very good profit and allow the market to work with whichever way it wants to between now and midsummer. And so our mindset has been, let's take a step back. Let's reward the market, get some hedges in place, use bought puts for, you know, the balance of your hedges, so that keeping the cash unsold, if the market goes straight up, you can reward yourself and be rewarded by that. But don't let profit like this get sucked away as we get into the planters when it gets busier and when seasonally the funds no longer become really a lot of our friends.
I can't believe I'm asking this, but based on the charts, is it possible we're going to fill that gap in the May beans from 609 to 620 if silver does a little bit better in its performance?
We sincerely mean this when we say this, Dave. Two things. One, we really did want to buy the puts for the last percentage of what we did with clients and not go over 40% of expected bushels in either corn or bean cash sales early in the year, because we really could build a case with the number of uncertainties out there that beans could go a dollar higher or a dollar lower. And if you play the hedging and the risk management side of it correctly and utilize some options, we think you can take advantage of that market going either way. But we will be maybe the first on record. I don't care that we are. Maybe I haven't heard this from anybody else, but I think if you get another USDA cut in exports and you don't have a significant reduction in South America and avian flu doesn't improve in Europe and it indeed worsens, I think you're at a level here at these price levels. If May beans do what you're asking, you're really building the case that you're getting a speculative bubble bought and put into the bean complex right now, and that really worries us right now.
Let's turn our attention to corn, where we're looking to try to fill this gap left over from 18 August at 243.5. Yesterday, when we were talking to Dan Zwicker, he had some technical work saying, hey, there might be a little bit of more legs in the May corn contract. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's a good point as far as the technicals go, but the one thing that we really are nervous about and something we've talked about many weeks in a row here is this delivery time period between March and May futures. And in May wheat, you have an 11.5 cent or roughly 11 cent premium against the March. In corn, you have about an 11 cent premium against the March corn futures in May. And in May beans, you've got around a 13 cent premium. So if you look at corn and wheat in particular, and beans for that matter, elevators and cash markets have already switched their contracts off of May. And so they've dropped their basis quite a bit due to this futures difference that we're dealing with right now. And March is the cash price at the Chicago Board of Trade. So if March and May don't meet when March expires, like they normally do, then we'll have a weekly chart gap that would be friendly at first glance. Historically, though, cash wins this battle, that the cash elevator and the pipeline will drag on the market if there's a carry in the market like there is right now, and you will see a real sluggish cash market. And we think yesterday's export sales was a meaningful export sales report, that really we did see a weaker amount sold across the board because of these futures rallies and because the export market is not willing to bid up at this point. So we still would contend that between now and when the March goes off the board, something's going to have to give, and either we're going to be left with a weekly chart gap or the May jumps above the March, or the May is going to be dragged down by the March in the cash market. And like I said, historically in corn, the 2.4 billion bushel carryover, the cash usually wins that battle.
Thank you very much, Mike.
You bet, Dave. Have a nice one.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Taking a look at the current tick, March wheat in Kansas City, 440 up 3.5. March wheat at the Board of Trade, 367.5 down 1.5. May, 382.75 up 2.25. March corn, 228.5 unchanged. May, 239 down 0.25. July, 248.75 down 0.5. December, 265 unchanged. March beans, 590 down 1. May, 602.5 down 1.5. July, 613 down 1.75. November, 624 down 2.75. March soybean meal, 175.50 down 70. March soybean oil, 24.33 down 4. At the Merck, March feeders, 106.70 down 45. April live cattle, 86.27.5 down 52.5. April lean hogs, 62.25 up 25. Outside markets, the Goldman Sachs commodities indicator at 423.85 down 2.42. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois, on the web at WILL.UIUC.edu. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.